And welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Motors More Jeep in Brainerd, Minnesota, and by Zeus Off-Road in friendly Burnsville, Minnesota. Today I talked to Morgan Wendt. She is from Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, and I also discuss a little bit about some upgrades I did to my Jeep a long time ago that you could find also handy for you. One is for my phone mount, and one is for security in the trunk. All right, so I'm sitting here with Morgan Wendt from Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, and this is our probably our sixth time trying this because of the problems with the internet and everything, but we found that Zoom works best. So her and I are talking face-to-face. You guys are just getting the recordings out of it, but Morgan has some big news. She just graduated from college. So tell us about your experience and what you're going to do with that, Morgan.
Yeah, that I did. It's weird to say that I have a bachelor's of science now in biology. So I've got that, and then I'm also getting my GIS certificate, and so I'd like to work kind of work in the conjunction of those two. I'd like to work for the Minnesota DNR and land in the OAT program and kind of work using those skills to identify new areas for OHV opportunity, improve current ones, that kind of thing.
Awesome. So you're kind of keeping it in the family. You're sticking with the four-wheel drive world and using your skills and your education to kind of help us all out. So thanks a lot.
Yeah,
for that.
Absolutely.
So one of the reasons I want to bring Morgan on, because she's the representative for Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association, and she's going to give us some insights of what's been going on at the meetings, what's been going on at the organization a little bit. And so kind of fill us in, what's been going on lately from the last couple meetings?
Well, you know, times are tough right now, and we're not exempt from that in any form or fashion. Our two biggest events for the year got canceled, which is a big bummer for us. Our swap meet, which was supposed to be in April, was canceled, and that event is usually where a lot of people choose to renew their membership for the year. And so we lost out on a lot of those memberships. And then we also canceled our spring convention, which was actually supposed to happen today on the date that we're recording this. And that is the only fundraiser that we have throughout the year, being that we're a nonprofit. That's a really big hit for us. So times are definitely tough for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was actually reading the Minnesota Off-Road magazine. This one, I'm showing it to Morgan so she can see it. But the latest review, Rick was talking all about that. Basically, the same thing that you just said. So, for you guys out there who are members of the Four-Wheel Drive Association or who want to, you can go online. Am I right? And do your renewal.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. You can go onto our website and hit the Join Now tab and renew your membership as an individual member, as a club member, or as a business associate if you appreciate the patronage of the off-road community.
Yeah, so we talked in the past about a lot of things that Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association does for us and kind of help keeping the trails open and finding new trails. And so those are some big responsibility, big things that you guys do, I should say, and we're all thankful for that. And without the funding of our members, can't get much of that done. So I encourage
exactly.
You guys to go online, the listeners out there, to go online and get your membership dues in. That way we kind of can keep things rolling, because some things are kind of in the hiatus, other things are kind of in the background. But hopefully when this all makes a big change here soon, hopefully you see some things opening back up. So thanks for that. So now we have some other things coming up is the elections. That was the other thing that you told me in our pre-call. We talked a little bit about the elections that are coming up for the board members. Kind of fill us in on how that's all done.
Yeah, so we have yearly elections to kind of get new blood and new ideas into the association and just to kind of re-energize the entire leadership team. And so every year we switch out about half of our officers. Of course, some of those officers get re-elected, but it's just a way for us, you know, to let everybody participate in the process. We get new leadership in there, that kind of thing.
So what's the deadlines for getting on board with that?
It seems like we're late every year in the way we're supposed to do things. So it's written in our bylaws that we are supposed to accept nominations in March, close nominations in April, and then we send the ballots out to our clubs and the clubs vote on that. And then we announce the results of that at our May meeting. This year, as per our usual, we are late. So we will be announcing the results at our May meeting, and then the new officers will be taking over in June. So we're a month late from our normal process.
Okay. Okay. So has the vote happened yet? I don't know. You know. So.
So yeah, that's kind of part of the whole process. So we have we've given voting rights to our club members. So in terms of like your membership, in the way the association views your membership, kind of from like an administrative side, a club membership and an individual membership are not that much different from each other. This is the one big, like one big matter where that's a big deal, because only our club members have voting privileges. So all of our individual members, unfortunately, don't, because they would just outnumber the clubs and it wouldn't be like a fair draw for everybody involved. So how elections work is that we accept nominations and then we send a ballot out to all of our club representatives. And they take that ballot, they go to their club, they say, here's who's running. We give them a little bio so that they can kind of get to know the members. They vote on it and they send that back to us. So every club gets one vote.
Oh, okay. I see. So it's not just like the biggest club out there gets, you know, 900 votes.
Exactly.
Little guys. Okay. I got you. Okay, cool. So that's kind of how it's done. And then where can I see kind of the candidates and where they're at?
So we posted that to our Facebook page, so you can see all the candidates and everything there. If you are a Minnesota Forward Drive Association member, all of this information was sent to you in email to let you know that elections were coming up. I'm going to be watching for that from your club representative. So all the club representatives should have that in their email by now, and if not, you know, reach out to me and we'll get you squared away.
Cool. All right. So one of the reasons I want to have Minnesota Forward Drive Association on is to help get the word out and how things are done, the inner workings, because not everybody understands that. Sometimes people just want to get in their four-wheel drive and go off-road, and they can't find a trail, and they're like, why are there no trails? Well, here's kind of how you can learn a little more about it, is through some of the notes that she's talking about through the Facebook page and the website, and then just listening here, you can kind of learn a little more about it. So hopefully you guys know a little more about where to elect your candidates and who the candidates are, and what they actually do for our trail system. So I'm just trying to get the word out. So some of the big things that we have right now going on is, well, we can't really do a whole bunch. What we can do is we can go on some of the trails that are out there. They're still open, I believe. But I wanted to get an update from you on a couple of the big trails that are opening up soon. The Houston update, where are we at with the Houston trail system?
So like I talked about the last time I was on a podcast, at that point we were in the public comment period where the DNR was accepting public comments about the project. And we got the feedback from those comments. And the DNR representative let us know that they received 123 comments on the Houston project. About a third of those were concerns about the project, and they were the normal, you know, range of concerns varying from wildlife to plant communities to erosion, that kind of thing. Usually noise concerns is a big one of those from local residents. But they did say that OHVs, off-highway vehicles, were a well-represented portion of that. Logic kind of dictates that if a third of those were concerns, then two-thirds of those were, you know, in favor of the project. And they said they were keeping their eye on about 10 locals, and about four of those had negative comments. So that's, you know, not a bad rate in terms of our normal, you know, our normal comments and our normal projects like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you know, you're not going to make everybody happy in any situation. And in my world, I'm a cyclist. I like to go mountain biking and road biking a little bit. And some people really hate bikers. And when I'm driving my car, I don't like when bikers are on the road. But I'm on the bike. I hate being on the road, but sometimes it's my only option to get to that next thing. So what I'm saying is you can't make everybody happy.
Exactly.
Situation. And so that's just a kind of little side note about biking. But there's a huge, you know, Minnesota's ironically a huge biking community. But there's some people, the guy on the radio who just hates the cyclist on the road. It's pretty funny. He talks about it. And I listen a lot. So some of those negative comments can make the change. Others, you know, kind of the wrong way for us if we want to go down that road. But we can also learn from that and be a responsible off-roader, because the non-off-roading public can be, you know, they can be sticks in our sides a little bit if we don't follow our own rules. I will say that I did go to Appleton recently. Mm-hmm. And that was a trail that I think the DNR was a part of that trail. And I talked to police officers there. It was a highway guy, and he just happened to be there. And I started talking. He goes, yeah, the DNR usually kind of oversees this idea, but I thought I'd stop in today. And I talked to him for a little bit. And for the most part, it was pretty cool. I mean, it was a good partnership, it seemed like, between the community and the off-roaders. I also did see a lot of North Dakota plates out there, some South Dakota plates. but a lot of North Dakota guys. So it was interesting that, you know, really drew a lot of people to that area too. And why I'm bringing all this up is the community and the off-roaders seem to work really well together. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people stopping at the local gas station, buying a lot of stuff. So that's kind of what it brings in business into this very small town. So hopefully people who are on the negative side of it now see the positive sides of down the road that they can see. So that's kind of a Houston update. How about, what is the new Iron, I always forget the Iron Range name. I always call Gilbert too, but what's it called?
So it used to be called the Virginia Expansion. And now they want us to call it Gilbert North because bureaucracy. You know, they, last summer, they were able to build a few core trails in there. They had hired like a special unit, of forestry to go in there and build core trails and kind of establish some things, because the DNR wasn't moving very quickly on it. And so they were able to go in and establish some core trails. They mapped out a few areas of potential, but that's really all they were able to achieve last summer. Unfortunately, with this project, we're kind of at the mercy of the DNR, and things are going to move at the speed of government with this one. So we kind of just have to wait for them to get their butts in gear. And, you know, we've offered our support and offered our help in building trails over there, but we're kind of at the mercy of the DNR on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have they slowed down because of the coronavirus deal too?
Yeah, everything pretty much has come to a screeching halt. I know there is very minimal staffing at Gilbert right now, and I know within the DNR as a whole, everybody that can is working from home, and they are really, you know, they're trying to do their part like the rest of us are.
Mm-hmm. But Gilbert is open, right?
Conditionally, yeah. That is one thing I wanted to mention during the podcast is that I believe the park is open right now, but if you're going to head out to any park, make sure you check with the DNR before you head there, because there are a lot of closures right now, not only with COVID-19, but also with spring thaw. Spring is a really big time for us to kind of plant the seed in our members' minds that, like, this is a really critical time of the year for us because everything can be wet, and that's a really great time to introduce erosion and property damage and stuff like that, even unintentionally. And so always check with the DNR and make sure that the park that you're going to is open, and make sure that if you see any wet areas, you're not drawn to go play in them. You're not trying to create big tire tracks, stuff like that. Even if you get stuck, you know, try to kind of like fill the potholes back in or cover up your tire tracks a little bit so that it doesn't dry in these big ruts, and then we don't create property damage and so on and so forth, because that is unfortunately how we ultimately get trails taken away from us.
Yeah, and that was when we went out a couple weeks ago, we made sure that Appleton was open. Mm-hmm. And I made other guys that I was going with, my brother and another buddy of mine, I just said, you guys look too. I want to make sure this is all open. This is all okay. Because yeah, like, I want to check fire. And I actually did have talked to an officer, and I felt good about it. I was like, oh, good. At least I'm not going to kick it for not
right, being exactly.
Here. When I was a kid, I used to run from the cops because I was in places illegal. Now it's like, I would talk to them. I'm okay here, right? So I guess it's about being mature. But that's a very good thing to do. What you just said is make sure and double and triple check. That's what we did too. It was just making sure you're doing everything right.
Exactly. Yeah. And the big parks might have a better chance of being open, like Gilbert and Appleton, where there are established parks that are designated for OHV use. But if you're going to go to like a state forest or like some minimum maintenance roads, those especially, you got to be really careful and just double, triple check that they are open and that you can be there safely.
And some of the, what's the other one up by the state forest? We were just talking about, you know, Minnesota-Wisconsin border goes up and down.
There's a couple over there. There's Spider Lake. There's the Damaju State Forest. Those are all kind of in eastern Minnesota, western Wisconsin.
Yeah, those are the ones I was talking about. You got them. So, thanks for that. So, what's the other thing? Any other trail updates I need to know about?
I mean, I guess on kind of like a sadder note, we were planning on kind of doing a grand opening for the B2B this summer. That would be the border-to-border trail. And with the whole COVID-19 thing, those plans are kind of put on hold for right now. We may be able to do something in late summer, depending on how this all kind of shakes out, or it might get moved to next summer. We were trying to work with local government units to put up signage and that kind of thing. And that all came to a screeching halt when the whole thing started. So You know, the trail is there and it's been successful and we're really anxious to, you know, get working on it, but we just gotta hang on for a minute and see how everything works out.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're all in this together, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of this whole COVID-19 jazz, but hopefully things kind of make a turn so we can get enjoy the summer here.
Yeah, exactly.
I talked about last week's podcast. I talked a bit about enjoying a different style of off-roading, and I started to get into hiking and running off-road more. And just because I know I can do it, I can do it straight from my house. And I actually was out there 4-5 times this week. And yesterday I played frisbee golf. Have you ever played frisbee golf, Morgan?
I have not. I want to so badly.
So imagine, if you will, there's a ski hill and there's 18 holes of frisbee golf to be played. And I'm with my son, who plays ultimate frisbee, and he's really good at throwing that type of frisbee, and me, who's okay at doing this. But I ended up walking over 2 miles. I went up and down the ski hill, I think 4 times.
Oh my goodness.
In 2 miles. And played 18 holes, took a little over an hour. And I think next time I'll bring a backpack with beer in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm getting exercise. I won't want to waste away. So I want to burn all the calories.
Right.
But that's a different way to enjoy nature and get outside and do some stuff. Mm-hmm. And seriously, we saw two other people the whole time were out there. It was great. So, and I don't play real golf too well at all. So this is a different way to do it. So it's so funny because I posted on my Facebook page that my son and I went out. It was great. Made a good time with it. And so many people are saying the same thing. I want to try it. So
mm-hmm.
I think I spent $40 on 2 sets of disc golf thingies, and we went and had a good time. So, but that's just a different way to enjoy it. I mean, other mm-hmm. things I think I put right at the top of my list in my notes I sent you, Morgan, is concentrating on things we can do instead of what we can't. We did talk about a lot of things we can't do, and that kind of taught us. But some things we can do, there's some great fun birthday parades out there. Today, the current temperature is 45 degrees, and it's on its way to 60. So we might have some top-down weather sometime soon. I think I've been out a bunch of times when it's top down, but our next weekend might look like it's so cold. But it might be a good time to do some little fun projects to your Jeep. And that's why I'm gonna talk about my segment. I'm gonna talk a little about things that I've done in the past to my Jeep to make it a little more comfortable. So for off-roading, either holding a phone or safety measures. So I'm gonna talk about that a little bit. But anything else to add to the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association section?
No, I think you kind of hit it on the, I was going to mention modifications, honestly, in this time, right? Everybody's looking for stuff to do, and this is a great time to take on that project that you thought might be too time consuming to do during the, you know, during the regular off-roading season, or maybe you didn't get time to do it over the winter, anything like that. You know, projects or modifications right now are an awesome way to kind of take up your time and kind of satisfy that itch a little bit.
Yeah. What's funny is, we don't have to, if you're working from home, you don't have to commute. So you save yourself that 20 minutes or whatever the time it took for you to drive places. So you have more time to do stuff at home. Yesterday was a project day for me. I got my new mountain bike tire on because my old one was definitely in need of replacing. And I think everybody has done this. You ever try to put a tire on yourself and you could not get it to bead right? I could not get the tire to bead.
Every single time.
A mountain bike tire that's set up to be tubeless, and especially a thin-walled mountain bike mm-hmm. tire, because you put actually the slime in the inside, so it kind of covers little pinholes. And I'm a big fella, so I can't use a tube because I get pinch flats, you know. So on a mountain bike tire, most tires have tubes in them for mountain biking, but I go tubeless, and I could not get enough air into that tire for to pop that bead out. And it was, I did bang my head against the wall for about an hour. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to take it to a shop because I know they know how to do this. And I've done it by myself. I did have a little pump. I had a huge air compressor. But they have 120 pounds of air, and mm-hmm. I only have 100. And so I might need to get a new air compressor, that one that doesn't make a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. Well, my current one does. That goes to 120 pounds, so I can do this myself, because it was frustrating to be like, why can't I get this tire to pop out? I knew I needed just 20 more pounds is all I needed. I knew that was a secret. But that was my project yesterday. Now I'm going to go biking here in the next hour or so and test it all out. But, yeah, those little projects like that, well, at least it took up some time. But I'm going to talk about some other little projects that I've done here in the last, 4 years since I got my Jeep, that kind of help with safety and security and, you know, how to mount your phone is always a big deal. So I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah, that too.
All right, Morgan, thanks for coming with us today. And we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep, have a good one.
You too.
Hey, gang, for a quick little sponsor break here, I have a Jeep from Moores & Moore Jeep that you guys got to check out. It is a 2013 four-door Jeep, obviously JKU. It already has a little bit of a starter kit on there for you. 3-inch lift, 35-inch tires, 85,000 miles. It's white with black interior. This thing is ready to go. And if you pick this Jeep up, remember, or any Jeep there, you get a $500 credit towards Zeus Off-Road. So what you could do with that $500 credit is go the next step. So if you're looking for putting a winch and maybe a bumper, a couple bumpers on this thing, you are set with a $500 credit towards that to Zeus Off-Road, courtesy of Moores & Moore Jeep. So if that's something you're interested in, check in with Jeff from Moores & Moore Jeep in Brainerd, Minnesota. If you already have a Jeep, you want some work done, some custom work, just tell me, listen to the podcast, and you get a free hat or t-shirt from Zeus Off-Road. And, you know, they do some great custom work there. So check out their website or their, especially their social media, so you can see some of the things they're working on right now for their truly custom work. So check that out. That's Moores & Moore Jeep in Brainerd, Minnesota, and then Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota. Hey, gang, we all been there. We all need a little bit of extra storage in our Jeeps every now and again, and maybe a little extra security. So I wanted to talk about two upgrades that I did that I'm pretty excited about, kind of covering both those deals. The first one, I think every Jeep has this little cubby up front. I know the TJs and the JKs have it, or on top of the dash, they have the most useless place to put anything. I think everybody's tried putting a pen or, you know, back in the day, cell phones back in 2001, I guess, were the size of bricks or bigger. And so they probably didn't need this, but so many people put their cell phone up there or a pen or a spare change. I know it's been up in mine because when I took my dash apart, I found a bunch of spare change from the previous owner. So that little cubby hole on top, it's about a half inch, not even a half inch, probably a quarter inch deep, and really didn't hold anything for any reason. And it has a little rubber piece in there that I think I took out right as soon as I got the thing to try to get a deeper point to put things. So in the day, though, it was worthless. And like I said, when I took the dash part, I think I found 4 or 5 pens and about $1 and change rolling around the dash underneath, because that's what the guy did. He put spare change up there and it just rolled right out. So I took that piece out because I wanted to have a mount for my cell phone somehow, some way, or even a GoPro. So there's a different ones out there that you can put there, and it's literally a 2-second process. Anywhere from $20 to $35, you can get one of these set up through either Daystar or Rugged Ridge. I went with Rugged Ridge brand because it had a like a ball mount spot for your GoPro. So and also I could use a cell phone mount, also could go in there. You could find it on the old Quadratech guy, but I could kind of follow along and look what I'm, you know, you can also see what I'm looking at. But it comes with, I think, a cell phone mount and a GoPro mount. There's a couple different ones on there. The popular one actually has a cell phone in the holder, so that's probably the one you want to get. That one's $39.99. So I picked that one up. And you can also, like I said, put a GoPro in that same spot. And I actually used that as a GoPro mount the first time that I went out. I had a different setup, I think, for my cell phone at the time, or I just wasn't using it. But why you might want to get something like this is it has, you know, if you like me, you like to have your maps up when you're driving, you can use, just like they have it here, they have a cell phone sitting there, and you can use your favorite map service to do that. If you have a newer Jeep with your Apple CarPlay built into it, you don't need to have this feature. But if you have an older Jeep that doesn't have room for the CarPlay or just don't want to put it in, you can have this set up and you use your phone. So a lot of things drew me to this. It has a nice deep cubby for putting different things. You can actually leave your cell phone in the cubby, pens, pencils, spare change. It's not going to come out of there. That's why I use it. But lately what I did, the backside of it, I guess the inside the cubby, what I did is I took a magnet that you would use as a vent magnet for your phone. There's a bunch of different ones out there. I think I found it on on Amazon, this one, the vent magnets. And that's what I was using in the Jeep. That's I remember now how I was mounting that. But I didn't like that setup because the thing would fall out. And so what I did is I ground down the back of that and I drilled that right into the inside of the cubby on the backside. So my phone will sit horizontal in that spot and I could see it just fine. I'm a tall guy, so I could see right into that spot. And even if the magnet fails or, you know, moving around enough, if I'm going off road, sometimes it does fall forward. It's not going to fall down into the floor. It just falls into the cubby. It's just because it's already there. It's, you know, 90% of it's already sitting inside of it. And so I just put the magnet, and it has a little piece of metal that goes inside your phone case or slaps on the back of your phone with sticky tape. And then you're able to kind of have a nice secure mount for your phone. So while I'm driving, I can have my map up. I have it plugged, my phone plugged in usually, but I have the map up to see where I'm going horizontally. I can use it as another touchscreen basically. So I don't have to ever have the phone in my hand. I can just tap the map like you would a touchscreen on your newer vehicle. So, I checked around. I believe that is all legal because I asked around. And so you can still do that feature. So I kind of alleviated the problem of having a place to mount your phone, having it fall off at any time. It's not going to fall off. So that was my solution. There's other ones out there, I know. I didn't like putting a phone mount on the ball and socket thing there, because it jiggles around a little bit. My idea with the magnet and where it sits, it's not jiggling around as much. So I just like that feature for me better. I think a buddy of mine did the same exact one, and he uses the phone mount thing. That's how he does it. Works for him. But what I like to do too is, you know, when we go off road, you have your nice radio with you. And we got the Bofang guys. They work out great for us. There's also the Rugged radio system. They're, you know, Bofangs are basically the same thing as Rugged Ridge, from what I understand. You can prove me wrong, but for the most part, you know, $20, I think it was 20, $25 I paid for the radio. And you can use the Rugged radio's mounting plate that I bought. And then I had rigged up a piece of metal, some scrap crap I had around, and I actually made a mount that fits inside the secure system of this Rugged Ridge mounting system. I found a way to kind of lock it in. So my radio sits vertically there when I'm off-roading, and it sits in a nice secure spot so it's not bouncing around the cab. And then I also have my phone mounted on the magnet piece in there, so I can see where I'm going on the trail or towards the trail. Everything's kind of securely mounted, not run around and going to hit me in the head at any given time or slide around on the floor by my feet. So I just I think I spent on the mount about $20 on the rugged radios mount, and then $20 for the radio. That my buddy Wade, he bought the programmer, so he programmed the radio to have the right features for us. And then also, I'm looking right at right now at the computer, $40 for the Rugged Ridge mounting system. So I kind of went a little heavier on that one, but it's, you know, because you can get a cheaper one from Daystar for $20. But I have all the storage I need now in that area, and it's not going to roll around and get hidden underneath the dash. So that's kind of the system I did for mounting my phone, my radio, for off-roading, and then a little bit of cubby hole there. So kind of fixed that problem, because I think back in 2001, you know, when they were building this Jeep, they weren't concerned about cell phones, because like I said, cell phones were the size of bricks and people didn't use them like they use them today. So kind of updated that part of my Jeep. The other thing I wanted to discuss was the trunk. Okay, so you know, when you have a top-down Jeep, you don't have any security at all. So what you have is the back end will lock though. So your tailgate will lock. And I can't spell trunk today. I got truck down, but trunk. So there's a way to lock your trunk. And there's some Tuffy systems out there for about $800, it looks like. But the one that I have, well, here it is, Desktop Instatrunk they have. If you have a JK, sorry, I don't know what the one you have. I'm pulling up the TJ ones, but I know there's some similar ones for JKs. But the TJ one, you have a tiny little trunk back there. You LJ guys were a little jealous because you had a little more room than us. But the instant trunk, I actually went online on good old Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, and I found one for, I think I gave 40, 50 bucks for it. And that's actually a Jeep. It was a option back when this was built to get this, but Best Top basically took the same design and built it out. But you can go on there. It's called a Best Top Instatrunk for the 9706 Jeep Wrangler. You can go to Quadratech and take a look at it. They have it for $180. I think I paid 45, 40 or 50 bucks for mine. Got it out of Rochester. I had a buddy of mine who lives down there pick it up, brought it to a bike race that we were both at. So I had it delivered to me even. But it took a few minutes to install. I had to pull back the carpet a little bit. It goes in with some specialized screws that I picked up that were actually for a PT Cruiser. Ironically, they use the same, I forget what they're called. They kind of go in inserts. I can't remember what they're all called. But found the right model number, installed it all. But basically, what it turns into, it turns makes your Jeep trunk, the back behind that rear seat, makes it into a secure area. You can lock your that tailgate then, and you cannot get in there without the key. So it's a way to have your top down doors off, wide to the space, but still, if you want to stick a, your a purse or a, sometimes I have my iPad with me. If I'm going to on a bike trail and I want to lock, secure everything up, I lock it all back there and it's not going anywhere. Put my wallet back there. It's not going to go anywhere because it's all locked up. You can take a peek at what I'm talking about on the old interwebs on Quadratech. You can also find it on, you can probably find some used ones like I did, but mine says Jeep right in the top. What's really cool about the one I have too, if you fold the seat forward, there's actually a way to flip it up. So then it actually has, it looks like a Jeep grill underneath, but it's basically like some cup holders and then just a kind of a table for you. So I thought it was cool. So I really wanted the Jeep branded one, and that's why I picked that one up. But like I said, there's other options. So if you're looking for a way to kind of secure your valuable items and not take up a whole bunch of trunk space, or take out, you can still have your seat in there, your back seat. It's great. So this is the solution I came up with. And then you still your soft top will sit right on top of it. And then if you have the top up and you want to throw a few things on top behind the seat there, you can do that. I've done that in the past too when I had a hard top, but it worked out pretty well. The other thing, I didn't mention it before, but the other thing I picked up that I thought was really neat was a high lift jack mounting system that mounts on the roll bars. It mounts right across, right on top of this trunk, actually, is where it sits most of the time when I'm off-roading. I'm not a guy who keeps the high lift jack on 24/7. I don't like having the high lift on the outside of the vehicle. I'd rather have it on the inside because it's pretty easy to steal if you just kind of, unscrew the thing and take off of it. But also, if you want to keep your high lift looking nice and rust-free, having it inside the Jeep is much better than on the outside all the time. I take my high lift off and, store it in the garage when I'm not going off-road, because it does, for some reason, it just, I want it to look better. I bought a high lift. I got a good deal on it. Want to kind of keep it looking at least newish or way it is now for a long time. So I want to store it on the inside. I did give a good amount of money for the storage system. I think I paid $85 for the piece. You can get a hood mount one for like 30. But again, and then it's on the outside. I want it on the inside. So they're basically just couple hoops and screws. It's pretty expensive for what it was, but whoever came up with it, it does secure it pretty tightly when it's on there and it's on the roll bars. So you can kind of take a look at that, see if I can find it for you. But for me, it was the better way to go, just to kind of keep high lift jack mount. See if I can find it for you. Ah, there we go. There's a bunch of them. There it is, right there. Quadratec Sport Cage. Sport cage high lift jack mount for the Jeep Wranglers. There it is. So it's right there on Quadratec, 90 bucks. I think I gave for it now. I'm looking at the prices. But I did have to take off the little bit of an end piece that goes on there off my high lift to kind of get it to fit. Also, you can get your soft top on there, but there's a lot of little sharp ends in there. So what I do is I take the mount out when I have my top down and the high lift jack out just so I don't rip my soft top. So that's three little fun little things I did to my Jeep that help with security and storage. And I thought that you would enjoy that. So I thought I'd mention those things right now. Those are just stupid little things that you can probably do in this time where you have much going on. You can make a quick order, have the stuff delivered. spend a half, you know, a few days, half a day, probably a few beers worth job. All these are pretty quick. I would say if you got all three of these, if it took you over an hour, you're spending too much time drinking beer. So give it a shot. If you guys have any questions, hit me up in the Facebook page if you have questions about these things, but they're easily just search. You can find them. Side note, I did get my high lift. I think they go for anywhere from 90 to 120 bucks. I got mine on Facebook Marketplace for $20. So I was pretty happy about that. It's a real high lift. It's got a little rust to it, but someone's cleaned out their garage, and that's how I picked it up. So you can find some deals some places. Other times you got to buy new, but sometimes you can find some deals. So it's a good time to do that too. So thanks for listening, guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Hey, thanks again for listening to the CrossRed Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota, and by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. And especially, I want to say Happy Mother's Day out there to all you Jeepers who are mothers, and also to my mom especially for having me, and Happy Mother's Day to her, and to Mrs. CrossRed, Happy Mother's Day.